This is the Agent Mind Podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. I'm super excited. This is, I guess, technically episode 2 of season 2. So if you haven't heard, I call it a trailer. If you haven't heard the first episode of the season, go back and check that out. It kind of explains the whole sabbatical that I took from doing the podcast. In essence, it was just, I had to focus on my sales team, growing my sales business. I'm super excited about the place that the team is at now, the direction we're going, and the clarity around the culture and who belongs on the team and whatnot, who fits on the team. So enough about that. Today, we're going to dig into converting your buyer leads. So this is, if you follow these steps or this system, you will convert more buyer leads. And stick around for the end. I got a little nugget. Remind me at the end, James.
I sure will.
So welcome to the show. This is James Dickey. He's on the team. He's an integral part of the team. And I don't know, we were talking about this before, so we said, you know what, this would make a great podcast, so let's dive in. But first, I want to talk about, is it the elephant in the room? Is that a good way to describe it?
That's a great way to describe it.
I don't know if it's the elephant in the room anymore. It's like everybody's talking about this right now, so I feel compelled to add our two cents in. I really just want to address it. Just to get it out there, not spend a lot of time on it because there's a lot of stuff going on, and you've probably already guessed what we're talking about. In essence, it's the state of the market right now. Like what's going on in real estate market? What is out there in the news affecting us as real estate agents? And I don't think we even have to say it, but what is it, James? Tell me.
Oh well, you know, the first thing I have to bring up is it's the lawsuit. Against the NAR, and really, yeah, it's a massive lawsuit. But it spells in a lot of people's minds doom and gloom. But let's need to peer into what really means. So it's not all that.
Yeah, and so all we have to say about this is just put your head down, keep doing what you know works, and you'll be all right. Like this is not the end of real estate as we know it. This is not the demise of the real estate agent. Like markets have shown that, like the free market has shown that real estate agents are needed and wanted by the general public of people that don't buy and sell houses once every 10 years, maybe, or 7 to 10 years. So we're not going to dig into that. I'm sure you've heard the news. I'm sure you've seen everything. I do want to point out though, that the attorney that brought this suit to the courts, the attorney, okay, I need to throw this out there. You can say I'm a little bitter or whatever, but that guy made over 30%, okay, on his fees and his, let's just call him a commission. His commission was over 30%. Now, I don't know of any real estate agent that has ever made 30% on a deal, not to mention one that had $1 billion, dollar amount at the end of it. So just throwing that out there, guys. All right. So it's, it's just ironic that he has made so much money on this. Did he price fix? I don't know. Is he price fixing? Whatever. No, I'm getting petty now, but just had to throw that out there. But the long story short is it doesn't matter. They can change the rules. They can change the laws. They can change whatever they need to change. They can take away rules, whatever the case may be. Just keep your head down, do your work, provide value to your clients, and you will be fine. Is it Oregon? It's somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. And I don't know if you listened to last season, you know that I don't always do my homework on everything that I talk about, but
yeah, it was Oregon.
Things pop into my head, but Oregon, somewhere over there. They actually did away with the buyers, the cooperation buyer. You had to pay the buyer's broker. They did away with that in their MLS. And guess what? Buyer's agents still got paid. Nothing really changed after they did that. So don't worry. Keep your head down. Keep focused on what you're doing. Don't be one of the agents that gets scared. Put your head in the sand. Just get freezes like a deer in headlights.
Nope.
A truck is not barreling down the road at us to wipe us off the face of the earth. It is going to be fine. Just put your head down. Do your work. Make your calls. Prospect. lead generate, and then most importantly, help people. The only difference, I think, is that we probably will need to be a little better at explaining what we do and explaining our value to potential clients. In the past couple of years, we really haven't had to do that. I mean, if you had a heartbeat, you could sell a house basically. But you know, the way that interest rates have come up and things are changing and the lawsuit and all that, people are asking questions and like, what's going on? There's always been the question and always an assumption that we don't really do much as real estate agents, which if you've done a single deal, you realize that we do an incredible amount and we help an incredible amount. So just being able to explain that and having, on the team, we're definitely implementing more buyer presentations or more like strategy. We call them strategy sessions with our buyer clients, because we want to make sure that one, the expectations are set about what do we do? What's their responsibility in the transaction? What do we take care of? And then also we've just added in almost like you would like a list of things you do to market a home if you're the listing agent. We're doing that with buyers. Like, here's what we do for you as a buyer. And here's it all bullet pointed out. So just kind of, that's the only thing that we really changed is just to make sure that buyers understand. And if you're at a listing too, you just need to have the conversation. It's just, we might have to build another skill. And the skill is just talking to your sellers and saying, hey, here are our options. It's a good idea to offer buyer's compensation. You don't have to, it's all negotiable, all that stuff. And we're not going to get into that. We want to talk about that today, but the skills, we just might need to build it, just practice a script. And I use that word script loosely, but
yeah. All right, I'd say this real quick is that, there's an intrinsic skill, an intrinsic value to real estate realtors on both sides of the transaction. It's just about messaging. I think nationally they got away from the messaging of it. So that needs to happen abroad, but in your own home, in your own team, in your own business, you have to have a great message because you have value. You just need to be able to speak it.
Yeah, exactly. Communicate, articulate your value. Toot your own horn is essentially what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, beat it to death, but you do have to somehow communicate it to the people that you serve. All right. Enough of that. It's done. No, we're never going to talk about that. I'm going to say never talk about it again. If some more news comes up, we'll probably mention it. But point of that is, don't worry. Put your head down. Do your work. Get out there. Keep doing what you're doing. Everybody's going to be okay. That's my virtual hug I'm giving everybody out there. It's going to be okay. All right, let's move on. So today we're going to talk about the working title of the episode. I haven't quite named the episode yet. Is the idiot proof way to convert buyer leads. It might just be converting buyer leads. I don't know, but we're going to talk about converting buyer leads today. I don't know if you're newer, if you're stuck, if you don't like converting buyer leads, this is a foolproof system. We've proved it time and time again. It works. As I mentioned in episode one of this season, I'm a Agent Rise coach with Agent Rise Coaching, Neil Mathwig. If you don't know what that is, Go check out agentrisecoaching.com. It's amazing. Neil's an amazing coach, an amazing individual, and I'm privileged to be working with him in his company, I guess, basically. So anyways, I came up coaching with Neil and Agent Rise. My team from the beginning, from the conception, has always been an Agent Rise team. So we follow the steps, three pillars, the Agent Rise steps, which we'll talk more about that at a future date, but just the system, the plan for building a business, building a foundation, building a business you love. That's what we're based on. So this is most of this system that we're going to talk about right now is based on the matchmaking system from Agent Rise. I've just taken it and added a few more steps to it. So you can actually go click down and follow these steps and you will convert leads. We've done it several times. We keep doing it. This is the system that we use for our buyers and every new agent that comes onto the team. This is the system they follow, and they'll get closings, they get transactions. So, did I miss anything in leading up?
Nope. That was a great intro. And then this is buyer flow chart.
Okay. So, stick around to the end. I'm going to tell you how to get this buyer flow chart. I'm going to make it available to all of you. So stick around to the end, and we will we'll make sure to make that available for you all. All right. So buyer leads. So we're, however you get your buyer leads, we have a system for agents to come onto the team. Open house is the pillar with which we chase leads, as an agent that comes onto our team. So, but it doesn't matter if it's open house, if you use Facebook leads, if you're buying leads online, wherever your lead is coming from, we're going to start with the lead comes into your system. Like your lead is, it hits your CRM. And let me just pause for a minute just to talk about CRM. I am a firm believer of using CRM. It keeps you organized. It keeps your leads organized. As you get more and more and more and more leads, you they're there organized and ready to go for you.
Yep.
Don't be intimidated by a CRM. They're not, most of them, I never met one or haven't met one yet that it was easy and intuitive at first. But once you start learning it, once you start playing around in there, it becomes easier and easier and easier. And then if what I do with my CRM, I use KV Core. Especially when I was learning the system, I just went to YouTube and whatever it was I was trying to do, it was like, change my auto campaign to my leads. And I would type that into YouTube and boom, there's an agent out there that made a YouTube video. I wish I could say that I made all the YouTube videos. So you would just listen to me, but that I did. I haven't made any YouTube videos on a CRM. I'm not an expert, but I can tell you there's a lot of people out there that can share that information. So learn a CRM. That's it. That's like step one, get a CRM and learn it.
Yep.
But you can use the system without a CRM, but you will find that if you are pulling in a lot of leads, you're going to get lost and confused and it's going to be a little bit nutty. So we're going to make the assumption that you're using a CRM and we're going to go from there. So lead comes in. First thing to do, they go into your CRM, like we just said, to beat that horse. Then you're going to assign a campaign, an automatic campaign to them, depending on where the lead came from. So if it came from an open house, you've already had a conversation with them. You may have their search criteria already, because that's the goal. When you're talking to buyers, you don't want to be their best friend. You don't want them to invite you over for dinner on the holidays. Like that's not what you're going for. The only goal you should have when you're talking to a buyer for the first time is to get their criteria. What kind of house are they looking for? Where are they looking? What kind of house they want? So we'll get to that in a minute. If you haven't gotten that information, they go into your CRM, they go on an automatic campaign. That's, you know, the first couple emails and texts are regarding, how they got into your system. So if it's a specific ad on Facebook, you're going to refer to that ad on Facebook. If it was an open house, it's going to be like, hey, thanks for coming to the open house, blah, 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 blah. So, having people sign in and getting their information is for another episode. We're going to assume that we've gotten that stuff and they're going into the CRM now. So we start off, we use a system called the 541 system. And I've kind of begged, borrowed, and stole that system from other agents. Really successful teams in that we know that probably common household names within the industry. I've kind of hodgepodge things together. I've come up with a system of 541. So for the first 5 days, before you've gotten their criteria, before you've really talked to them and found out what kind of house they want, the first 5 days, they're going to get an email, they're going to get a text message, and they're going to get a phone call from you. All those things. Now the email and the text message automated from your CRM. You're going to see now the CRMs, you know, come being more and more important. And what do you think? Have you ever tried to do that, James, without using the CRM, without using automation?
I have, and it's a lot of extra effort. It's a lot of effort.
Yeah. Is it sustainable?
No, not even close.
No. When you get more and more leads, it gets to be a little bit, not a little bit. It gets to be impossible to keep up with everything.
Three's a lot of leads to do all this with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. One's a lot. No.
Yeah.
So the first 5 days, you get an email, automated email. So the lead comes in as soon as it hits your CRM. It's set up to automate. The lead goes out, or I'm sorry, the email goes out to the lead. A text message goes out to the lead saying, hey, I just emailed you with the list you were looking for. I just emailed you the information you know, if they're signing in electronically at an open house, like, I just emailed you the disclosure for the listing you visited, whatever, whatever. That's like the first text message and email. And then the email, of course, has a link to the whatever information you promised them.
Right.
Then the you want to set them up also. You want to have trigger them to get on your a weekly email, which we'll talk about in a minute. You want to make sure that they're set up for search alerts. Now, the question would be like, TJ, but we haven't gotten their criteria yet. How are we going to set them up for search alerts? Well, they probably came into your system because of a particular property. Listing, a particular house. Definitely if they were at the open house. We use Facebook ads that are geared towards specific kind of homes, if not a specific listing. It's at least like, you know, houses in a specific suburb of Atlanta on right. an acre or more. Like, so we have a broad criteria for them. Set up a search alert. And we even set them up. Most of the time we'll set them up with a monthly market report as well for the zip code. And this is why CRM gets more and more important, because all this stuff is in your CRM. And most of the CRMs, just about every CRM that I know of, has a monthly market report that you can automatically email. They have the search alerts that you can email people, set people up for. So that's all designed in these customer relation management systems. So that's it. That's the setup right there. So you haven't spoken to them five days, email, text, call, until you get a hold of them. All right. And then if you haven't gotten a hold of them, the 541, the four in that system is you've been through the 5 days. You haven't gotten a response. They haven't responded to your text. They haven't called you back. They haven't answered the phone. So then you go, I mean, you can't sustain calling them every single day until that's just a little bit stalkerish and freaky. We're not going to do that. We're going to back off a little bit after the fifth day. We're going to go to for 4 weeks, once a week, you're going to reach out with a text, email, phone call. Still after that 4 weeks. So we're a month and 5 days, just a little over a month into trying to contact this person with the intentions of just getting their criteria. Then you still haven't talked to them. Then they just go to a long-term campaign, so to speak. And you're sending automatic emails out every now and again, text messages. So you're doing like one touch a month. So it could be an email, it could be a text. It could be a phone call, but all these folks are still getting your weekly email and they're getting the market reports and all the stuff that you set them up for already. Now, I want to touch on the weekly email. So you want to take this one, James? I feel like I'm talking a lot. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee.
Well, the weekly email, I mean, it's basically just a way to stay in front of your sphere or in front of your people in your CRM. And we get it from Keep Concurring Matters. And, you know, it's just great information about the markets, great information about what's going on in your neighborhoods or actually in the country. And so it's just weekly email that they get a chance to read. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on top of that email, there's also portions of that I can check out, you know, your blog, as well as stuff about their home. They want to go into a listing to see what they want to move into. There are links in there as well. So it's always asking them something, giving them the opportunity to click on something.
Yeah, there's calls to action in there for sure. But so Keeping Current Matters is an awesome resource. It's amazing. You can actually, if you subscribe to them, most of you probably know this about Keeping Current Matters. They do a great job with marketing, but you can get a blog that is written by them and their people, and it's branded to you. So with branded to your team or branded to you as an agent. So you can, what we do is I just pull a blog that pertains to buying a home, and we send it out in their weekly email. If they click on the blog, the blog pulls up. It's got our team name. It's got our contact information. If they click contact us, I get an email that somebody has come through my KCM blog. It's pretty cool. I like it. And we don't get paid. I actually pay them. So, but I do enjoy the service. It's great. So that goes, there's a different blog every week. It's a different subject to try to get people to click on it. And then like James said, there's a, you know, a search for homes here, get a market report. You know, that it's a template of an email. The only thing that changes is the blog every week. And you can set that up in your CRM to go out automatically as well.
Yeah.
Or you can use Constant Contact. You can set these things up. Automation, if you haven't picked up on this by now, is the key to converting more buyer leads. The more automation you have, the better, until you start talking to somebody. So we're going to get into that now. So, like I said, lead comes in, you set them up for all the stuff we just talked about. You call them, say, now you get a hold, you get them on the phone. At whatever point in that process, you get them on the phone and you get their search criteria. That's your one goal. You want to get their search criteria. You want to know what they're looking for. And what we do, we use the acronym LP Mama. I don't know if anybody's ever heard that before. It's about half the agents I talk to have heard that acronym before. LP Mama stands for location, price, motivation, agent. Are they working with an agent? Money. How are they going to pay for it? And then the last A is set the appointment. So location, it's you clicked on our ad about the home in Fayetteville, Georgia. Is this where you're looking for? Are you looking in just Fayetteville, or are you looking in the surrounding areas? Like, where do you want to end up? Price, the house you clicked on was $655,000. That's the price you want to be in? Where are you looking? Things like 650 to 700. Okay, great. You get the price criteria that they're looking for. And then agent, how long have you been looking? And they'll say, we just started, or we've been looking for months. Oh, you've been looking for months. How many have you been out? Have you made any offers on any homes? They'll be like, no, we haven't been that serious. We're just starting to get serious. Or they'll say, yeah, we've made 3 offers on houses and haven't gotten them. And then you can cut it right off there. Like, oh, so you have an agent. Great. Who are you working with? Great. That person's amazing. You're in good hands. Good luck to you. I'm going to let them take over. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. So if you have any questions, have that agent contact me, blah, 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 blah. And you get out of that. Ethically, it's just slimy to try to steal somebody else's client. I don't even ask if they have you signed anything with them. Like, I don't even go there. If they express unhappiness and they're like looking for another agent to work with besides the one they've been working with, then I'll ask the question, well, where are you? Have you signed something with them? And so on and so forth. But I don't, if they say they're working with another agent and they've made offers, they clearly have a buyer's agreement. I'm not going to go there unless they're expressing how unhappy they are. And I'm going to tread lightly on that one as well. Side note for there. And then search criteria, beds, baths. You want a fenced in backyard? You want an open concept? I had a client once that did not want a stairway. As soon as you open the front door, like for some reason here in Georgia, it's like all the houses, as soon as you open the front door, the stairwell is right there to go up to the upstairs. They didn't want that. They wanted the stairway to be hidden somewhere in another part of the house. So anyways, that's what you're looking for there. Then you enter the detail notes into your CRM, pin the notes, and then we move on to what we call the matchmaker system. You put them in your matchmaker system. And James, I'm going to let you take this one. Tell us what the matchmaker system is.
Well, the matchmaker system is basically what helps you stay in connection and give your worth to who you're working with. They want a house. So what you do is you get the criteria and you just, in a systematic way, whether it's once, twice, 3 times a week, whatever it is, search for upcoming houses, search for a house. And once you find that one, you just give them a call. Hey, this is James with, yada, yada, yada. And I found this perfect house. It checks off so many boxes that we've talked about. Give me a call back. We can go over the details. Boom. Gives them a reason to call back. Now, all of a sudden, you're giving them something they want, value added to that phone call.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if you call and say, hey, I'm just checking in with you, I've done it, so don't feel bad. I've done it.
Yeah, I've done it too. So.
No, well, they don't need you to check in with them. Like, I don't know if you've ever shopped for anything where you've had to do a little bit of research. Like, you don't need a salesperson to check in with you. If you have a question, you're going to reach out to them. But if somebody calls me with something that I'm looking for, then I'm compelled to call them back. So that's it. Hey, I was on the MLS this morning. I saw a coming soon, checks off all the boxes you're looking for. I instantly thought of you. Like, I always say that because people like to be thought about. So I totally thought of you in our conversation about what you're looking for. Give me a call back. I want to tell you all about it. That's it. Hang up the phone. And if they call, then if they answer the phone, obviously you're going to tell them all about it. Whether they're ready to buy now or they're just browsing or not, that's not the point. The point is that you're calling them to tell them that you were thinking of them. You saw something, reminded you of them, and you're working for them before they even hire you. So that's the point, that right there.
Connection,
they're going to be, Yeah, they'll be compelled to work with you rather than you convincing them or begging them or checking in with them to convince them to work with you. So timeline, when we're part of the criteria, we're going to get their timeline. So when do you want to be in a new home? If it's 0 to 3 months, we're going to matchmake with them 2 to 3 times a week until that we start getting out and looking at houses and until they become a client of ours. And then we just continue on the process. If they say 3 to 6 months, then we're going to do it probably once a week, maybe more if we see something. And usually if they're 6 months, that process is going to happen really quickly and they're going to soon go to, look, I need to buy a house now. And then you're going to start matchmaking with even more. And then there's the people that are like 6 to 12 months. You're going to go down to probably, once every other week, maybe once a month or two times once a month, something like that. You don't want to be pushy, but you want to let them know, hey, I was thinking of you. I remember our conversation. I was thinking of you. Then if they're like 12 months out, then you just go down to once a month. An email and text message is probably fine for a touch. But really just once a month. And when you call, it might be a different conversation rather than, hey, I saw a house that you need to go look at, because they're like, well, I told you, buddy, that I'm not even buying a house till next summer. It might be, hey, the neighborhood you're looking in, like there's 6 houses that just came up and they sold in just 6 days, whatever the case may be. Just give them information about the market and just say, hey, I sent you a couple listings just so you can see them come and go. So when you're ready to go, you have all the information you need. I mean, there's many scripts you can talk about that, but.
Yeah. And one thing I want to add about matchmaking, think about it too. It's not, this is a critical aspect of what we do here, but you'll have a lot of potential clients that have the same kind of criteria. So when you matchmake, all of a sudden you've got 5 people to call on the same property, so it gets easier and easier too.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. It does get easier. Yeah. You pick a property and we can get into that too. I'm going to give you a way to contact me if you want to dig in deeper to that.
Absolutely.
If you really, really want some more, we can book a call. I'm happy to do that to kind of explain some of this, because this is kind of a lot start to finish. So I did forget to mention, as soon as you get a hold of somebody, turn them off the auto campaign.
Yes.
In your CRM, turn that off, because you'll start sending them messages that are designed to get them to respond to you. If you've already spoken to them and then you send them another message that's designed to get them to respond, they're going to get confused and they're going to be like, this guy's sending me auto emails and whatnot. So turn that off. And then you're going to add their timeline, a timeline reminder campaign in your CRM that has no outgoing messages to the leads that are in your CRM. All it does is remind you of how often you need to matchmake, how often you should be reaching out to them. Just gives you a reminder, like, hey, call this person you haven't matched with, make with them this week. So on and so forth. So we do 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6 months, 6 to 12 months, and then over 12 months. They're all different reminders, call reminders for us. And then as they move their timeline, we change the campaign for them. And like I said, the campaign is not a drip campaign outgoing to them. It's just basically a campaign of automatic task reminders for us to reach out to them. So, I mean, in essence, if you do this, if you follow these steps, you're going to get to the buyer's consultation. And I don't want to go too long on this episode. It's really just about the converting the leads, getting to the point where you get in front of them, you get showing houses to them. So I just want to stress the point, like we talked about in the beginning, is of buyer consultation, like sitting down, explaining the process, explaining what earnest money is, explaining the inspections, the repair requests, the documents. I always bring a packet to them in a folder. It's got a letter from me. And everyone on my team brings the same letter from me. It's like a promise from the leader, a promise from the owner of the team of what they can expect from us when they hire us to represent them. And then in there is also like the home buyer roadmap and testimonials. Make sure you put testimonials in there. I have references. I put references in there. And then you're also going to add this list of what you bring to the table, what you do for them, your value. I would bullet point it out and just say, here's what you can expect from me when you hire me as an agent. Negotiation, deciphering inspection reports, relationships that you have with other professionals where if they need something like a radon inspector or a roofer or whatever. You have those connections. A handyman, whatever it is, because buyers need handyman sometimes. Depends on all the negotiations that you go through after they close. They might need a handyman, so on and so forth. So the most important thing, though, is bring that buyer brokerage agreement. Give them a copy of it right off the bat. I say, hey, you don't have to sign this right now because it's intimidating. It's a contract. It's like, we're signing a contract. We're signing our name. That means we're legally bound and committed. People get a little freaked out by that in the beginning, especially buyers that haven't really done it before. They're going to be like, what is this? So explain what it is. Explain how you get paid. Explain your value. Have them be like, take this, read it. Let me know if you have any questions on it. The next time we go out to look at houses, I'm going to send this over for you to sign it electronically because legally I really can't do anything. And ethically, I can't really, represent you until officially hire me to do so.
Right.
And then I always put the caveat in there. It's like, hey, I'm not going to force you to work with me. If you don't want to work with me anymore, like I can promise you that I'm not going to do anything that's going to make you not want to work with me. I'm paraphrasing. I don't actually say it like that, but I say, if you don't want to work, if there comes a point where like, you don't want to look at houses anymore, or you've found another agent or your mom gets a real estate license and you're going to use her. We take this, we tear it up. No harm, no foul. That's it. Cause people get a little weird about it. And some people, I know that there are people out there listening right now. They're like, what you do? What you tell them? What, whatever. Do you do your business how you want to? I know that if you start working with me, you're going to want to keep working with me. That's it. And there's rare occasion.
Like clients yet that walk away. I've not had one client walk away.
So you just give them that. You just set their mind at ease. Like, hey, this is not a marriage license. You're not signing a marriage certificate. It's just like, it's a buyer's agreement. If you don't want to work with me, God damn it. I'm not going to go through the emotional turmoil of trying to keep you working with me or trying to go after you for commission. Imagine if we as agents went after buyers that like broke a buyer's agreement for commissions. Oh, how much business would we get?
No.
Like, oh yeah. 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 Use TJ because he sues his clients. No, bad business. So just put their mind at ease with that. So anyways, I went off on a tangent there right there. Did I miss anything, James? What else did I not talk about? Did we not talk about that we need to add into here?
No, that was the entire buyer's consultation. I mean, the flow chart, that was really good. Again, I do want to reinforce the fact that once you get their criteria, you automatically that moment take them off the campaign.
Yeah. Yep. 100%.
That's a big one that I missed starting off too. I forgot to take them off the campaign. They would keep getting these emails and texts, and I'm calling them at the same time. It's just awkward and weird.
Yep. It is, absolutely. So I did promise how you could get a copy of our buyer lead flow chart. I'm going to put it in the Facebook group. We have a Facebook group called, what's it called? I just changed the name.
It's not called I changed the name.
The Real Estate Collaborative Network. So if you go to Facebook and then after www.com, Facebook/ the Real Estate Collaborative Network.com, or I think, no, it's Facebook, www.facebook.com/ the Real Estate Collaborative Network. Go there. I'm going to pin it in a post. It's going to be in files in the Facebook group. So if you haven't joined that, go join that group. A lot of stuff I talk about from this podcast, a lot of stuff we talk about is going to go end up in that Facebook group. I have a website's kind of, I'm revamping the website for the Agent Mind podcast. It's under construction right now. So just go to Facebook, get on the Real Estate Collaborative Network, and you can get this document downloaded. And if you have questions, I'm sure you're going to have questions. If you're really serious about it and you're looking at this and going through it, if you have questions, email me at tjmcgraw@theagentmind.com. So it's just the name of the podcast, theagentmind.com, tjmcgraw@theagentmind.com. Email me. I can answer questions. Bear with me if I don't answer right away, but I will get to you within 24, 48 hours. And if you want to book a call with me, if you want to learn how to partner with us, get all this information, like not spoon fed to you, but get in the room with us. we can talk about that. There's several different ways to do that. There's even a free way to do it. So let me know about that if you want to partner up with us and really take your business to the next level. That's it, James. Thanks so much, man.
Hey, man, loved it, man. Love doing it.
I like having somebody else on, so we can so it's just not my voice droning on and on and on. So cool. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Welcome back. I'm excited to be back, and I hope you enjoy season 2.